Well, I love the deep dive that we've taken into the grace of God and our thankfulness for that. The Book of Psalms is a collection of ancient songs or poems that the people of Israel used in their worship life. We don't really know much. We really don't know much about who wrote them. Even though some are attributed to David, we don't really know that. Sometimes things written in the Bible were ascribed to a certain person just to lend authenticity to them or authority. There's no real way to determine that. We just know that they were part of the worship life of Israel. Psalms addressed a wide variety of human experiences and emotions. And if you've ever read through them and thought about them, you've experienced them. And sometimes you kind of go, wow, can you say that? And yet the psalmist did. Psalm 105 is generally considered to be a psalm of thanksgiving, as we'll see shortly. However, some also think that this was a psalm that was written to encourage those returning to Israel from Babylon. So you know that Babylon came in and thoroughly destroyed the capital city, Jerusalem, broke down its walls, destroyed its temples, stole its items of worship that were of any value, and took away their best and their brightest so that Israel could never become a threat to them ever again. And so, if this theory is right, and I think it's very plausible, then somebody was writing to encourage Israel for what they're going to be returning to. If that is the case, imagine how you would have felt the moment it was announced to you, first of all, that Cyrus, king of Persia, the Persians, overcame the Babylonians. So they're the next world power. So somebody comes running through the house. Did you read the paper? Cyrus is sending us home. Did you hear it on CNN? Cyrus is sending us home. What, at that moment, would have been a huge joy to think about. The place that you miss so much. Despite the fact that you've bought land and built a house and your kids are in great schools and you love your neighbors in Babylon, you're still happy to be going home. But when you finally made that long trek home from Babylon to Jerusalem, you were greeted by a city in ruins. It wasn't what you remembered it to be. I went back several years ago to Little Rock where I grew up and drove by my old high school just kind of wondering how it looked. And it really made me sad. Because when I went to school there, it's one of the best high schools in Little Rock, and it was a good school to be at, and now it really looked like inner city. Small potatoes compared to what the Jews would have been feeling, but they're looking at gates broken down, walls broken down. They're looking at their gorgeous temple, which is no longer gorgeous. The neighborhood that you grew up in is no longer there. Sounds of children playing is gone. And even your neighbors, the people that live around Jerusalem, are not happy to see you coming back. They hurl taunts at you and they make your life miserable. You kind of need a psalm at that time, don't you? You kind of need something that perks you up, that gives you a new way of looking at things. Psalms 105 serves that way. You want to think about how it might apply today, think about how we feel about the pessimism about politics or global warming or even inflation. Look at the news and see what's happened to Lahaina on Maui. Devastating and awful. You need a psalm at that time. You need somebody who comes along and says, well, let me give you another way to think about it. Well, the Jews could have well said, what's to be thankful for? What are you talking about? I gave up Babylon. I gave up my home. I gave up my kids' schools to come live in a place that is thoroughly destroyed. If returning home from Babylon was the occasion for this lesson in gratitude, then the psalmist might have been saying something like, quit staring at the walls. Concentrate on the God who delivered you from a foreign land and has renewed His promise with you. That's really the message. Crushing discouragement is nothing new to humans. Think about Jeremiah's extended wail, his keening over the fate of Jerusalem as he's seeing Babylon on the doorstep. We call that Lamentations. It's that book right after Jeremiah where he pours out his grief on every page. Or think about Elijah, who was afraid of Jezebel, who had publicly threatened to kill him. He knew there was a bounty on his head. Think about how he felt. Or the members of the Hebrews church who were bailing out of the faith. We don't know why, but they were bailing out and it was a problem in that church. Or the spies in the Old Testament who, when they were sent to spy out the land by Moses, came back and said, we can't do this. You're out of your mind. These people are like giants. We cannot do this. So the psalmist says, give thanks to God. Sing to Him. Glory in God's name. Something orienting about that. The attention moves from the walls of the city that are crashed down to the thoughts of God's action in the lives of the returnees. If the Jews were alert, if anybody was thinking, they had to be saying, there's got to be some connection between what God has promised to His people and what's happening to us today. Let's draw the line between those two things. If, as scholars think, a psalmist wrote this sometime surrounding the return of the Israelites from Persia, then there certainly must have been some that, remembering God's promises to them in the past, must have wondered if God had given up on them. Because what God promised is glorious, and what they're seeing is not. So the psalmist reiterates God's faithfulness. It's all over this psalm. I love that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We used to sing that, but it's been polished up and added to, and it's a wonderful song. And that's what Psalms 105 is. Psalmist says, remember the wonderful works He has done. Remember that. Don't forget that. He's mindful of His covenant forever. He hasn't forgotten us. May look like it, may feel like it, but God has not forgotten. The covenant that He made with Abraham, He confirmed to Jacob. He has remembered, these are all out of Psalms 105, He has remembered His holy promise. He says this over and over and over again. Much of this psalm is a history lesson. History is so orienting. It really helps us to understand, to make sense of some things. I love the little story that's now a LifeSpring story about the daughter that says, "Mom, why do you cut the end off the hand?" And a history lesson ensues because the mother says, "You know, I don't really know. We've just always done it." She turns to her mom, who's in the kitchen too. "Hey, Mom, why do we cut the end off the hand?" And her mom chuckles. You can just sort of see this little smile come over her face. And she says, "Oh, that was because my pan was too short." History lesson. You know, history orients you. It helps you to understand. And whether they had to cut the end off or not, maybe they'd gotten a new pan that was longer. I'm sure there had to be, from that point on, a sort of joy in cutting the end off the ham. Maybe they would have said, "I'm going to save it for Navy bean soup," or "I'm going to save that for New Year's Day to eat with black-eyed peas." So the psalmist reminds them about Joseph, who went to Egypt ahead of his people, and what happened to Joseph. Think Joseph ever wondered if God was with him, sitting in the bottom of a prison? I imagine he did. Or Moses, who stood up against Pharaoh and who said to God in the beginning, "You got to be kidding. I stutter. I am no good at this. And you're asking me?" Or remember how God brought you out of Egypt? Remember how you got in Egypt in the first place? You were dying. Famine. God took care of you in Egypt. And then God heard your cries and hatched this plan to get you out of Egypt. Remember that? Surely they had to think about how God has now brought them out of Persia. Maybe it's not to ideal circumstances, but you start to have to ask yourselves, why is this happening? Is this all connected? Maybe this is part of that big cosmic plan of God to redeem mankind. Just maybe. The idea of testimony, I've really kind of done for you a little bit of testimony right now. I've told you in words why it's important to remember what God has done. And I've told you some of the things that God has done. Testimony. Testimony is important not only to the New Testament, but also to the Old Testament. It is. In this spirit, God never intended His people to keep all of this to themselves, and this is the point of the sermon. God never intended for us to be closed-mouthed about what has happened to us and how God has worked in our lives. Israel was God's plan for reaching the nations, and yet, how many of us ever think of that, ever think of Israel in those terms? The psalmist, therefore, reiterates the idea of declaring and being a testifying people. Make known His deeds, listen to this, among the people. Tell all of His wonderful works. Nobody gets left out of that. Tell it to the people. Tell it to all of them. That's what God wanted His people to do. But instead, they became a club. Doesn't that happen so often today, even? I mean, what's different about us? This is not a new message in the Old Testament either. I love Isaiah. Isaiah 42 and 49 have something to say about this. I have given you as a covenant to the people. I have given you as a covenant to the people. A light to the nations. To open eyes that are blind, to bring the prisoners from the dungeon. It's God. God talking. 49, he says, I will give you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Don't you wonder what would have happened if Israel had taken God seriously on this? Well, how would history have changed? We'll never know that, of course, but over and over and over again, we've kept it to ourselves. Final word in this psalm is when the psalmist says to his readers, God has given you the lands of nations that they might keep his statutes and observe his laws. I think that's what the Lord's Supper is about. It's testimony. It's telling. This is what God has done. This is why it's important to us. In other words, there was a point to the salvation of Israel, and that was to be an obedient people. This is how the psalm ends. To live in accord with God's will for them. Not to be assimilated into the world and lose one's sense of identity with the God of Abraham. That's what God wanted. I think this is such a powerful psalm. And I think it's worth remembering as we think about our place in the world and what our responsibility is. I don't think God's talking about door knocking and all that kind of stuff. I do think he's talking about authentic testimony. Hey, I just got a new car. Hey, we're going to take a trip to Europe. I just bought a new piece of art. I just bought a new pair of shoes. It's the thing that just sort of trips off our lips when there's something that we're encouraged and happy about. Why not this? Let's pray. Oh God, we praise your name. You are the Almighty One, and we want to live in accord with your will and plan for your creation. We know that's what you've been doing for generations, and we pray that it will spring ever anew within us. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.